Well, happy Valentine's Day and shake what your mama gave you. You tuned into the Brothers Podcast. It's your boy all the way from the first state, the land that Joe built, Andre. And I'm on this thing with my brother from Philadelphia, the city with the team that got wings but no new ring. It's your boy, the philosopher of all philosophers, publisher of all publishers, author of all authors, and most importantly, he's the smartest one in this group. Javon's on the line. Say what's up to the people.
Happy Love Day, folks.
It is indeed Love Day. It is indeed Love Day, and we're just going to flow through this thing while we are tuning in to just make sure everything is good. Hopefully, all your Love Day is going well. We thank y'all for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, the number one on-air podcasting system in the world. We also thank y'all for tuning in to us on catching us on the replays on Apple Podcasts and on iHeartRadio. We are so excited and happy that you guys are tuning into us and loving us the way that you do, the way that you do. We are so grateful for you guys. And we're just excited overall of what God is doing for this station and for this podcast. All the way down from B-More, where you got to be more careful, duck in the alleyway. It's the one and only educator of all educators. Maurice is in the building. Say what's up to the people, bro.
What's up? Now, why are we ducking in behind alleyways? Because something about that doesn't sound so cool. Like,
you just got to be more careful.
You got to be more careful.
You got to be more careful.
We're ducking in alleyways.
When it all goes down to it, you got to be more careful. So, let's check out this week's hot topic. You know, it's been a lot going on since we last talked about 2 weeks ago. And they finally revealed the winner of the $2 billion Powerball in California. They revealed the winner on today.
So I didn't win.
I would not have come forward. You didn't win, bro. And I was so hoping you did. It's a man named Edwin Castro, but they didn't release any other information about him. All they said is that his name is Edwin Castro, and they said that he declined to appear at the press conference, which I would not have appeared either. And he said he's shocked that he won the Powerball and that the real winner is the California public school system, because of course in California, when they get rewarded or when they hit Powerballs in the public school system, when you hit the lotto, the money goes more to the public school system than anything else. So, you know, big congrats to Edwin. I personally wouldn't even have said my name. I'm not even going to hold you.
I would have gave him a fake name.
Absolutely. My name would have been Lucille Jefferson.
But it depends on the state that you win, because some states make you reveal your identity.
Yeah, some states make you actually, you got to show your identity. You have to show up to the press conference or you don't get paid. And then there are some states where your lawyer can claim your money, but the lawyer can't show up to the press conference. So that's great. I'll show up to the press conference.
Maryland one of those states?
Say that again.
Maryland one of those states. I wonder if Maryland is one of those states.
No, Maryland, you can actually send somebody in Maryland to pick your prize up for you.
That would be the problem. No, oh. I would send somebody and I would never see my prize. So,
no, that's why you send your lawyer.
Well, you know, I got two sisters, they're lawyers, so I trust them.
There it is. Big prayers going out to singer Kiki Wyatt. Her infant son has been rushed back to intensive care. Definitely want to keep her in your prayers. This last baby, I just think she's been going through a lot with the baby's health, and yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I saw that on Instagram, where she was holding him, and she had said that she had called the she called the EMP. So definitely, my heart goes out to Kiki, Wyatt, and family.
Absolutely. Tamar Braxton, Evelyn Lozada, and Nivea.
Oh my God,
Peach,
no.
Or search for their king on Queen's Court Peacock original show coming on this month, where Tamar, Evelyn, and Nivea are looking for love. I personally think Peacock needs to find something else to do, but yeah. What do y'all feel?
Can I say that when I was talking with something else, I did not think it was a dating show. I thought it was a ripoff of TS Medicine. Okay.
Me too. I thought that they were going to be judging folks, and then when I saw it was a dating show, I was like, oh God, no, no. I love Tamar, but no, no.
If you ever want to see Tamar judge anybody, just go on to Vigo. She judges all day, every day while she's on.
Yeah, I don't know. These reality TV shows are just a bit much finding love, getting hooked up, like 90 Day Fiance or women lock love and lock up. Tamar, I love you if you're listening. I want you to find your king, though. I do want you to find your king. I'm not. I don't want you to think I'm being a hater, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna find your king. You gotta pick one person first. You got. Hopefully you find your king, Tamar. Big shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs for taking them Eagles out of the Super Bowl hopes. Shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs. Congratulations on your Super Bowl win.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you are just, congratulations, Kansas City. Y'all are petty.
I'm not an Eagles fan, if you couldn't tell. I'm not an Eagles fan. However, I've never rooted for the Eagles. I'm sorry. That bothers people. Sorry but not sorry. I just don't understand. I think this is my thing. I never root for teams that has the majority of the people rooting for them, but also has fans who just feels like everybody else is just pathetically crazy. So I just have this thing where I feel that, to me, the Eagles has the worst fan. Eagles has the worst fans in America, I feel. It's like you win a Super Bowl and your fans tear your city up. Let's try something different here. So, I can't root for y'all. I've never been an Eagles fan. I don't like the color green. It reminds me of Army and Puke. So I don't like the color green. I never did like their mascot. I go on record and say it. It is what it is. You got a bigger chance of me rooting for Rick the Model Martel than you do the Philadelphia Eagles, but it is what it is. Congratulations for making it to the Super Bowl, but like all Philadelphia teams, you get there and you choke.
Not touching that one. Not touching
Javon,
that
it's okay. You're from Detroit. It's all good. It's all good. what'd you say? You just hear.
Well, apparently there's a new reality TV show called, what was it we were talking about the other day?
Oh, the gospel joint.
Yeah, I can't think of it off the top of my head. It would be on WeTV, if I'm not mistaken. It has
grown in gospel.
Grown in gospel. And it will feature Dorinda Clark Cole's daughter, Dorinda Clark Cole's daughter, Fred Hammond's daughter, Tasha Page Lockhart, an R&B artist who is now trying to cross over into gospel because he is a PK, and it looks like a, you know, a man that is a producer. His last name is Michael, I think. So those are the
We got Shauna, Tasha, Jay Brooks, Bree, Elijah, and Nakia.
Yes, and they're all gospel artists, or two of them are children of God. Well, three of them are children of gospel artists. Of course, we got Tasha Page Lockhart. We have Dorinda Clark Cole's daughter, and we have Fred Hammond's daughter, Bree, who also had recently just put out that she had been raped a couple of times. Yep, she'd been raped numerous times, and that she's looking for lawyers in the Maryland area to represent her. She didn't say by who. She didn't go into details, and she did this on Instagram where she said that she had been raped, and apparently her father did not know. So he posted an Instagram reaction to him not knowing what was going on. So Grown in Gospel will be interesting. Secrets, of course, will be revealed as I was watching the trailer for it, where one of the artists reveals to her ex-husband that she was sorry for cheating on him. So it's going to be quite interesting. It's called Grown in the Gospel. I think they should have added Leandra to that. I really would have seen that. But it's in Detroit. So it takes in Detroit. So we don't get to see. And then we know Leandra is in Atlanta, so we don't get to see Leandra.
Wow, yeah, this is going to be very interesting. I just want to know, why does all gospel shows start in Detroit? Like, is that like gospel headquarters?
You might as well say that.
Okay, yeah. I always wondered that. I mean, I know like it's big for like, you know, the Clark sisters and things like that, but I always wondered why all gospel shows kick off in Detroit, because I know the Preachers of L.A., the Preachers of L.A. started in L.A., but then they had the Real Preachers of Detroit, which was supposed to, from what I understand, be the first show, but Preachers backed down, so they went to the L.A. show first, so I just always wondered that, though.
Yeah.
Also, let's see. Where's Motown? Is it Motown in Detroit, Michigan?
Yeah, Motown's in Detroit also. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I could see gospel, R&B kind of crossing over in the south out of Detroit. I could see that happening.
That's definitely true.
I could see that happening.
Speaking of gospel giants that are coming and falling all at the same time, Bishop James Morton has passed away at the age of 66. Bishop Aretha Morton has passed away at the age of 85, both belonging to the Full Gospel Baptist Church. I almost was thinking, like, you know, Full Gospels are losing people like the Kojiks, like back-to-back, and they're all heavy hitters.
Right. I've actually visited Bishop James Morton's church, like when I visit Atlanta. It was a very nice church, huge church, Full Gospel Baptist. But my prayers definitely go out to Bishop Paul Morton, you know, and losing his brother. I didn't know Bishop Morton was that young. 60, you said 66?
66, yeah, 66. Yeah, absolutely. So apparently by Trump and Rihanna got beef going.
Yeah. Trump got a beef with himself.
This apparently the beef has started all the way back to when Trump was running against Hillary Clinton, and because Rihanna actually did not agree with Trump's campaign and was a huge Hillary Clinton supporter, Trump has had an issue with Rihanna since then. I just find it funny that you allowed this 2-year journey to Paul White calling names from Africa to help you get voted in. Yeah.
I call them the angels of Africa. Okay, I'm fine. Hata, maka, ita, lata.
I think this new... But this new campaign, I think he needs to go after for this new campaign, he's going to definitely have to enlist the support of the pastor who just rebuked her church for going to the Beyonce concert, even though she had tickets for the On the Run tour.
So
Tiffany Montgomery.
That lady is very interesting. She, you all have Tiffany Montgomery. She at one point had joined ANWA Chicago. She was in ANWA with Apostle Matthew Stevenson, and she had some controversies revolving around him, and some issues revolving around him. So I find it kind of interesting with her that she would rebuke people for going to a Beyonce concert. I just find it interesting that we're rebuking people for these various concerts and not allowing people to have their own mind to, if they don't want to go to a Beyonce concert, if you don't want to go to a Beyonce concert, you do not have to go to a Beyonce concert. If you think Beyonce and Jay-Z are part of the Illuminati, you have every right to think that. But listen, don't judge people because they choose to go to Beyonce and Jay-Z's concert. Like, let folks enjoy themselves. I don't know. I think we just might as well. I'm gonna start rebuking people for coming to church with long dresses on. I don't know. I mean, what we rebuke people for is quite interesting. We're rebuking people for going to a concert.
That, you look like a missionary. You're going to hell.
Reminds me of the '60s and the '60s and the '70s,
yeah,
and the '80s and the '90s when we rebuked people for. I got rebuked for going to prom. In 1994,
yeah.
I was going to Brown. And jitterbugging,
wow.
My pastor said I was jitterbugging. I went to the prom and was jitterbugging. Y'all know what a jitterbug is?
Jitterbug with Jesus.
So I just found it interesting. I also find this very interesting, you guys. Every time I get my food delivered at night to my house, they can never find my house.
you still going through the same thing?
Right. I thought moving would help that, but apparently it has not changed. Like, I'm still getting my food delivered to the wrong house. Yeah.
Wow. Are you still saying turn the light on?
The lights open. Yeah, maybe I should rebuke them for the delivery. Maybe I should rebuke the delivery guy for delivering my food wrong. I don't know.
So do you think that, speaking of the church, do you think the real saved people are playing Sacred Love Songs tonight by T.D. Jakes?
I'm not touching that.
I'm just saying, you know, it is Valentine's Day.
True.
Or y'all think they playing Gatherings by Smokey?
Would they rather
have a deep voice in their ear, or would they like to have a high pitched voice in their ear? Which one y'all are going for?
Good night. I'm not doing
it. The Saints need to be playing Reasons by or Winter.
It's absolutely crazy. Maurice was going through. So back into this story, Maurice was going through lyrics and finding out that songs that you guys have been playing for years at weddings should have never been played at a wedding.
True.
Because when you, okay, so here's the thing. So I actually came upon this because I was being nosy and I was wondering who sang the song Reasons, because I was looking at something online about one of the white brothers passed away. I think it was Paul White, or I can't remember. It was Paul. It was a white brother. And so I was like, oh. So I'm like going on Wikipedia. Then I'm looking at the songs, and I was like, well, who sang? And then Philip Bailey's name came up. I was like, oh, he sings Reasons. And so the song Reasons, and it says that Earth, Wind, and Fire is very. They were shocked that people were playing Reasons at weddings, because really Reasons is a one. It talks about a one night stand. So I was like, my God, and then that Reasons is one of my favorite songs by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Then I said, well, let me look up the lyrics to Before I Let Go by Main Street and Frankie Beverly. I did not know it was a breakup. No, someone alluded to me that it was a breakup song. And so I looked at the lyrics, and lo and behold, it's a breakup song. Because back in the day, you know, when you heard the lyrics to the song, you didn't really, you just listened to the music, you really wasn't paying attention to the lyrics. And then people singing the song, you know, I thank God sunrise. And so you're like, oh, yeah, that's my part. That's my jam right there. And then, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, he's thanking God because, baby, he's breaking up with you. So, I will be listening to lyrics more often.
Yeah.
At least reading the lyrics before you play the song. You know, like, it's songs that will blow your mind.
Because the 70s and 80s, the 60s and 70s songs are kind of ambiguous. When we move over to maybe like the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, definitely the 2010s and definitely the 2020s, it's more put out there.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's exactly what they're talking about.
It definitely would make sense to know what you're listening to, especially nowadays. I think I would read the lyrics nowadays for two reasons. Number one, you don't understand what nobody's saying.
Well, nobody's saying right.
And then two, you know, I want to make sure I know what you're saying in your unedited version before they play the edited version, so I know what my child is actually listening to.
Right.
So yeah, definitely.
Now the kids tell me what's going on. I don't even have to know. The kids tell me what's going on. They be like, Miss Stevenson, you didn't know that's what that meant.
Yeah.
Nope.
Absolutely crazy. What are you saying, Javon?
I was saying nope. I don't know what none of you mean. Not a bit.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, if you really want to know what these songs are saying, I definitely encourage you to find a young person and flow. Let them actually tell you the. They will actually slow the lyric down in chopped and screwed format, just to let you know this is what this song is about.
Right.
So I definitely agree. With that. We're now in the second month of the year, and time is slowly flying by. There's been another mass shooting at another school. Michigan State University has 3 students dead, 5 wounded, including the shooter. It just seems like every week it's another shooting on another campus.
Yeah. I wonder if students are tired and emotionally drained. Like, wonder what's going on here.
I can only imagine just constantly being looking over my shoulder and I haven't done anything. Can I just go to class? I mean, I am paying $50,000 a year. Can I just go to class?
Not even just the students, but also even the parents. Like, especially for parents who are sending their kids out of state to go to school.
Right.
And you just hear on the news, you know, no names have been released, but 3 students dead. It's like, wait, what?
Right. And it has to be very daunting for parents to hear that, and very, you know, not a good look. Recently at my school, thank goodness that this was caught. A student brought a gun to school. Thank goodness that one of the security guards found out about it, and they searched the student. They searched the student. They got the gun. But you know, I could have been hearing on the news that my coworkers and some of my students could have been shot and killed. So we thank God for that, but even in these tragedies, like, what is going through the minds of these people? Like what mental health issues are going on? What stress level is allowing people to feel like they need to take someone's life? That is my concern.
Absolutely. Speaking of concerning things, they are now rebooting Barney. And he has a new look. He looks a lot younger and a lot animated. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. They did what?
They're rebooting Barney.
They rebooted him made some upgrades.
It's a whole new rebrand. It's a whole new rebrand to launch. The show, the franchise will launch in 2024 with a mixture of TV shows, streaming content, and movies. Mattel also confirmed that there'll be merchandising campaigns that's about to start, including clothes, books, and more. They took the classic Barney look, and they made him a lot more animated. The new show will be animated. It's going to be very interesting. Once one person commented on their Twitter page and said they gave Barney contacts, a nose job, and bigger veneers. Sad.
I need to see what this looks like.
Yeah, this new Barney looks horrendous.
Oh.
He said, oh.
Like, what's that character in Super Mario Brothers?
King Koopa?
He kind of looks like that. Yes, he looks like King Koopa.
Wow.
What's the other one? White with a it could be King Koopa. I don't know.
I don't know.
He has a little gap too in his veneer.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. I don't think it's going to do well, unfortunately. I don't think it's going to do well. I think that Barney has had his run. And I just really feel like sometimes we need to go ahead and just let things go.
Let it go.
Yeah. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
I mean, that he just made that a whole Tony Braxton song. I was so thinking he was about to do the Frozen joint. I am hollering. I was trying to find a hot topic that kind of tied into the segue tonight, but I couldn't find one, so we're going to just turn that thing right on over to Maurice, and you can lead us into our main talk tonight.
So we want to talk about identity. One of my favorite movies by, of course, I have a lot of favorite movies by Melissa McCarthy is Identity Theft. I love Tammy, but where she is this woman who's just plain and ordinary, but she knows how to steal people's identity, and she does it, and she does a great job at doing it. And so we want to deal with tonight, we want to deal with identity. We want to talk about identity. Who do I truly know who I am? That's the first thing we want to deal with. How has my identity been compromised? Am I true to myself 100% of the time? Because those are my three major things that we want to think about. So, I like to make jokes because people always mispronounce it. This is Valentine's Day. And on Valentine's Day, many of us are single. We don't have anyone, or we've been single for a while, or we're in a relationship where it may be not too great. And so we might not be celebrating this day. But one of the things about this day is you have to really truly know who you are. Because if you're not careful, you can be sad, you can become depressed, you can become irritated with people, you can become bitter, you can throw stones, you can joke, you can make inappropriate jokes about people's relationships. And you got to really know yourself. You really got to know who you are and understand that you are worthy of love and you are worthy of appreciation. Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to necessarily be in a relationship that doesn't serve you a purpose of being happy. And so with knowing who we are, it allows us to allow love to come in and allows us to be open to many things. I was sharing with someone that I'm just open to new friendships. I'm open because I'm learning how I've had to relearn, and I had to learn who I am. And sometimes you don't know who you are right away. You don't understand quite who you are. I'm looking at my students. They're 17, they're 18. Some of them are 19 years old, and they're still trying to figure out what they want to do, where they want to go, and really who they are. And when we think about that, and I want my brothers to chime in. I can't do this by myself. I want to ask y'all, when did y'all truly know who you are? When did you guys really truly know who you are?
I'll let you know.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good.
Because, honestly, when you look at identity, you can know something at 18 and still be learning something at 30. So it's an ongoing, evolving process of knowing who you are. But what I've learned in my 36 years of living is I can't identify with what I do. I have to identify with who I am. It's easy to identify yourself with an action because actions are visible. But who you are is not always an action. in the sense that I'm a loving person, right? But you don't always see that love, not because it's hidden, but because it's not something that's readily seen. It's something you have to get to know. It's something that you have to know me to really understand. But, you know, when it comes to if somebody is a thief, it's easy for somebody to say, oh, that's a thief because they've stolen before. Once or a million times, it's easy to identify them with an action as opposed to assessment. They might have stolen that one time they were 12, not at 35. They're the most hardworking person you will ever want to know. They give you their shirt off their back, but you don't see that. All you remember is that they're a thief because you're identifying them with the action instead of identifying them with who they are.
Right. We do have a caller. And I would like for our caller to kind of chime in, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked my brother. But before I let you talk, I do want to hear what our other brother, Dre, has to say. When did you truly know who you are?
I mean, truthfully, I'm still finding myself out. I have a grip of who I am. Like, I think I have a strong grip on who I am and the things that I've been able to accomplish as a individual has helped shape me to become who I am. But I don't know if you ever really find out who you are completely. I think that we evolve every day, and as long as we're evolving, we still don't know who we are because you learn something new every day about yourself. So you may know a lot of attributes about yourself that you find to be very thought-provoking and very, you know, strange fruit, if you will, where it's like, you know, hey, you know, I like this about me. But at the end of the day, I think that we still have to, I don't know if we ever find out who we really are. You know, like, I know for me, I'm still digging in the crate. I'm still finding that I like this, but I don't like that. Or I have more tolerance than I thought I did. Because at one point, I know I had zero tolerance. Now I'm learning I have a lot more tolerance than I give myself credit for. So that's, you know, for me, it kind of makes you say, hell, you still learning about yourself, though. Like, even with, you know, learning, even with just different things, writing books and learning politics and, you know, I've always had a love to make a change. And for me, it wasn't so much about the change as much as it was that it was fulfilling the need. And now I'm learning that sometimes fulfilling the need means that you have to make a change completely on what's going on, period. So I think it's just one of those ever winding circles where you're always finding new things about yourself, and it makes you ask yourself, do you really know who you are?
Right. Our caller, I'm going to take you off hold.
And before we bring the caller in, if anyone else likes to call in tonight, 319-527-6083, 319-527-6083 is the call in, and we do have a caller. You're on the air with the brothers.
Well, hello, brothers. How are y'all doing this evening?
Hello.
Stranger.
I was about to say, I'm sure y'all know who this is.
Friend to the show, Jay Wills is in the building.
In the building, baby. So I'm like really, first of all, everything that all three of y'all said was on point. So that's why I had to hurry up and call them, like, listen, this is hitting home. They must be talking to me for real. But my thing with identity, I can only speak for myself. I am learning that identity also has a lot to do with, let's go back to your past. A lot of us went through a lot of things in life. A lot of us haven't really seen a lot in life. Now, I will say this. As a young lady that's seen a lot in my lifetime, I'm about to be 40. I'm still questioning myself, who am I? Because there are certain things in my life that has, I feel like, you know, destroyed my soul. It changed me as a person. And, you know, so it's like as I get older, you know, I'm starting to feel like, okay, my life is starting to slow down. But now what I'm feeling is I do not know how to, what's the word I'm looking for? How to be treated. If that makes any sense. So that goes with my identity crisis. Like, you know, okay, so I guess my example is when you know you deserve better, you know it in your heart, but in your head, you like, all right, I'm going to keep letting this, it don't matter who it is, it can be family, friends, whoever, keep giving people chances after chances after chances, knowing that that person could continue to hurt you, betray you, or do certain things to you that you know you're worth better than that. You, like, you know, sometimes a lot of people don't know their worth. And I can honestly say I'm starting to, like, figure that out at 40. At 40 years old, I don't think they think about, oh, who am I as a person? Because I thought I was thugged out. And I would have believed you at 16, 17 years old because my trauma made me such a different person that as a little girl, I never saw certain things for myself. Son, I'm on the phone. She can't have no privacy around here. This is why I'm trying to figure out who I am. But anyway, I ain't mean to get all deep on your thing like that. And my speaker went off. I'm sitting here steady talking. Let me turn my Bluetooth off. Good Lord. Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. My son came in here, my Bluetooth cut on and everything. That's so embarrassing. But, no, so what I'm saying is, because I don't, you know, I don't want to bring down the mood of this show because I feel like this is another story, but I will say something in my childhood definitely traumatized me. And it's like almost like I woke up the next day, I was a whole totally different person. So as I'm growing up into my teenage years, up into my 20s, 25, 26, 27, I'm hanging with, I don't want to say the wrong people, but you know that saying, you are the company you keep. So I'm hanging out with all the drug dealers. I'm hanging out with the drug users. I'm hanging out with all the people that just, you know, my life could have went different kind of ways and stuff like that. But now, so being almost 40, it's like, okay, I don't hang with them same people anymore. I don't see those same people anymore because I don't do the same things. And then also, excuse me, like I was stating, you have to learn how to be treated, learn how to know when you're being done wrong or taken advantage of. You know, don't continue to sit around and, you know, keep, oh, maybe this person will change, maybe that person will change. My mother used to always say, when a tiger show you his stripes, you better believe it. Yeah, that's how I feel today. But yeah, y'all touched on my heart, so I was like, let me call in real quick because identity is it's a real thing. That's why there's so much going on out in this world too. A lot of people don't know who they are. Mm-hmm.
No, they don't know who they are.
Yeah, for sure. And sometimes you got to sit back, take some time to self, and figure out who you are, because you know some people can't accept the fact when you I ain't talked to you in weeks, I ain't talked to you in months, what's going on, oh, you cut me off. No, it's not even like that. Let me find me. That's what's going on. I'm trying to find me,
right.
Figure out where I need to be, because sometimes certain things just don't always feel good, you know. So it's like I feel like I've ruined friendships because I don't know who I am as a person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't feel like I was the best person in the world to certain people, you know, because I didn't know who I am. I didn't know my worth. So I might have said something to somebody. It might have came off a little hateful. Maybe I was a little jealous of somebody because I saw somebody was doing better than me at one point. Well, how she get that? Because I went harder, but I didn't get it. That's not, you know what I mean? That's not a good look.
Right.
It's that, I think, you know, certain things can cause jealousy and all kinds of stuff because you don't know who you are.
Right. You said something earlier about your trauma. And one of the things that we included in this segment is, has my identity been compromised? And when you think about your identity being compromised, especially when you're dealing with any type of trauma, any type of situation, it could be abuse, it could be sexual or physical, or it could be emotional, it could be verbal.
Mm-hmm.
It does, it compromises your identity because, again, the person touching you may have been touched at a young age, and now you're now at this point where you've grown, where now you're growing up, or you're in that phase of, why are these older people touching on me inappropriately? If you are emotionally abused, you're compromised your identity, verbal, because you don't love yourself. Because when someone tells you you're ugly and they're constantly berating you and hitting on you and berating you and making you feel lower than dirt, it compromises your identity. Like when you believe that what they're saying is truth, you're saying, you take that at face value. And so when our identity is compromised, we have to now unlearn. It's so much stuff that we have to unlearn. It's so much stuff that we have to go through. We have to begin to learn how to appreciate ourselves and love ourselves. One of the things that I've gone through is rejection, and that compromised my identity. And something totally, I'm going to share it because this is our podcast and we believe in being open. When I was 16, learning that my stepfather, who I thought was my biological father, was not, and in and of myself, having to learn who I am and who I am.
I can relate.
Like, having to know that you're not a Stevenson, you are a Scott, you know. That's something to deal with in and of itself. And having those secrets, we have to, our identity can be compromised with family secrets. And so we have to unlearn so much. It's so much that we have to unpack. And I feel like all of us on this show are still learning things about ourselves. Because there's so much that we have had to unpack from childhood. There's so much we had to unpack since we were teenagers. There's so much we're still unpacking as adults. There are some boxes we haven't even touched yet.
That's fact. Absolutely. And it's a shame because as children, but in certain cases, adults have failed us as children growing up. So it's like, okay, for instance, like you just stated, you know, you found out I think you said 16, that your stepfather or the man that you thought was your real father wasn't. And I can relate to that. How about I found out that my dad wasn't my father a couple of days after my mom died in 2015?
Well.
A whole man came up to me. Well, he didn't come up to me, but he basically like, listen, I'm your dad. I'm like, what? my dad's last name is Wright. This man last name is Harris. So now I got to figure out, who am I from the Harrises? What did I inherit?
Right.
Is there any mental health there?
Right.
Is there any health issues there in this family? You know, it's like you said, it's a lot to unpack. Mm-hmm. And these are things that we're not thinking of at even 20, 21, 22, 23 years old because we weren't there mentally. We don't know, you know. And even as far as, like you said, the trauma, you know, I don't mind sharing my trauma, and I'll keep it brief, but I was raped at 13 years old, and my rape caused me to get pregnant at 14. And once that happened to me, first of all, I was supposed to be a pathologist, okay? I was supposed to be a doctor. That was my goal. That was my dream as a child. And once that childhood dream was ruined, I went and found love in all the wrong places, meaning the streets. And I don't mean being promiscuous or anything like that, but I felt like I was trying to turn myself into a whole man. Because I'm thinking, why is this grown man looking at me? Why are these grown men wanting me? And it just made me sick. So, now, mind you, I grew up back in the 90s, so it was kind of acceptable to dress in baggy clothes because we had, Aaliyah, TLC. So people really didn't question why I dressed the way I dressed, but I knew why I dressed the way I dressed, because I didn't want men looking at me. So yeah, that identity, that it's a tricky thing. So as you get older, I do feel like, you know, you start to, if you take some time to yourself and get rid of all the people, places and things that you're used to and you know it's not good for you, then you start opening your eyes and see the brighter side of things. And it's not going to happen overnight because I'm still trying to figure it out day to day. It's days where it's really, I feel real good about it. I can meditate, think about it, and pray to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But I got some days where I'm just like, God, why? Why me? I feel like at 40, I'm supposed to be so much more ahead in life. But, you know, like I said, you just live and you learn. But I think we got to understand that you start articulating things differently as you get older. You start looking at things and people and just things differently. Yeah. Why are y'all being so proud and sensitive?
We're taking the
ain't nobody said, y'all just got quiet.
But I think what you're saying is true. I also want to say to everybody who's listening that feels like or has dealt with trauma like you or has dealt with some type of trauma in their life that has stolen their identity, to really begin to unpack how did that make you feel. Like we have to be true to these feelings, because some of us are hiding inner pain and anger with how we feel, and that causes us to identify as something else or identify with something else or identify in new places that we don't need to necessarily identify in, and we need to unpack that. While you were talking, though, one of the things that came to mind is this new generation of, and I'm going to add the church part in here, this new generation of pastors and people who want these titles but haven't necessarily gone through much. Well, we say they don't go through much. I think they've gone through too much, and this is what causes them to speak, because it looks prestigious. On the outside is what it looks like. It looks like, yeah, to be a bishop, to be an apostle, to be a pastor, and not knowing the growing pains or the stuff that we have to deal with as, you know, three of us are all pastors. We all have certain giftings, but we have to really fight for this and fight within ourselves for identity. Fight with our identity, because I have to identify this. You calling me pastor? I have to be pastor. But when's the time when I don't want to, when I want to identify as just being Maurice? There are times I just want to be Maurice because I'm already Mr. Stevenson. I'm already pastor. I'm already Maurice. I'm already these things. Now I have to reconcile pastor to this. Or when, you know, it's trying to find identity. And this is why you have to be strong with your identity, because these people and churches can throw you for a loop. Am I right?
Yeah. People viewing you a certain kind of way because, okay, you may have, you know, apostle or Reverend, Pastor, Bishop in front of your name, but then it's like you're still who you are as a person, but then people, it got to be hard when people put you on a pedestal or view you a certain way. So it's like, dang, I see Miss Rose, Mother Rose in the store today, and shoot, I slipped up and cussed. Now look at me different. You know what I mean? So
identity is hard when people are holding you to a standard. And we got to think about that as well when it comes to identity. Is what standards or what more or what things in our identity do we identify with that keep us from being the human part of ourselves? And being and like I said earlier, like, can our identity be compromised? Like, we're identifying in one area, but how do we see ourselves in this particular area? And I know for a long time with me, with pastoring, and even still now, it's hard for me to, I'm not saying I don't identify as a pastor, but one of the things is identifying, how do I fit into this? How do I fit into this pastoral role?
Yeah.
How do I fit in and be, but still be me?
And still be myself.
But that, I think that's the question now. That's the question I think a lot of people ask. Even those who aren't so much into pastoring, like sometimes the role you have in life, your livelihood, can sometimes make you question, especially with identity, like, you know, do I even want people to know this about me?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I know, like, my biggest thing with being a leader was always, can I be a leader but still have fun? You know, like, can I be a leader but still be myself? I am naturally a joking person. I'm naturally a person who likes to see people laugh. I'm naturally a person who likes to enjoy life. And I'm like, you know, the biggest issue for me, not even just in the leadership as far as ministry, but just even the leadership in my community, was always the people see you and it's always something negative that they got to say.
As long as I'm not hurting anybody, I don't see what the problem is. If I show love, if I see you and I show love and I hate and I'm not mean and I'm not frowning, no matter what's in front of my name, you should show me the same thing. Love that, you know? And I feel like, you know, sometimes people be in the church and all that kind of stuff, but last time I checked, you ain't supposed to be judging on nobody. So with that being said, it's like, okay, should you really not? People say they don't care, but let's be real. We do care what people think. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You do care to a certain extent what people think. You know what I mean? But it's like, all right, if I know I'm not out here hurting anybody, I'm not thieving, I ain't drugging and raving and, you know, doing things that can put me in a bad spotlight, I say this, let the people say what they're going to say, because my grandma used to say, baby, they talk about Jesus.
Not true. Yeah. I think that's that. And I think one of the major things that you said is people see us and see us, they hold us to a high standard. I call it the superhero syndrome, because if you look at a superhero, they often had to have secret identities. So that no one, like Superman, had to have a secret identity because he wanted to protect his loved ones, or Spider-Man had a secret identity because he needed to protect others, to protect those that were close to him. And a lot of people see us and they think that we're Superman, like the Superman. Oh, you should do this. But understand, I'm human. I make mistakes. I don't always cross every T and dot every I. It doesn't mean I don't understand who God is in me. But there are times I mess up. There are times I make mistakes. There are times I might cuss you out. You might catch me in a bad mood, and I might not mean to protect. But just you might get a cussing out. You know, something might happen that really says to, you know, others, I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm just, this today is not my day. Today, I'm not in a mindset.
No, because if I cut you out, it's definitely on purpose.
To be myself. No, right. For some people, right. But for some people, like, I may just be in a bad mood. Am I not entitled to have those? And so when we think about identity, it's learning and loving ourselves, but be at peace. I feel like the other piece of that is being at peace with who we are. Some of us are not at peace with who we are.
Yeah. And
if we're real,
we're not at peace.
Right.
Yep. Because I'm
sorry,
baby. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that many of us, the next piece of that, am I true to myself? But I don't think it's that we're not being true to ourselves. I think we're just not at peace with ourselves. And that's a whole other story. Well, go ahead, Jay Will.
No, I was just going to say I have a friend that is, you know, an apostle. And I sometimes I see my friend getting very overwhelmed at times because people look at him like Superman. If there's a funeral, he got to go. He got to go preach it. If somebody need a prayer and they feeling down today, they call that apostle and they need prayer. But it's like, dang, what about apostle? Don't you think apostle need a little prayer too? Don't you think apostle need a hug and some love? You know? So I was just basically tying back to when you was like, when you were saying that sometimes, you know, people look at y'all as if y'all supposed to be superheroes or hold you to a high standard or on a pedestal, but nobody sits and thinks like, dang, maybe Reverend or Bishop might need this. Maybe I should go over Bishop's house and pray for him and his family. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like things can be so one-sided, and people right. be so quick to jump the gun and not think about other people's feelings and well-being. Because sometimes even your mental health can tear down your physical health. People don't think about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But even with that, and that's the thing with identity, though. Like even with learning yourself, I feel like part of your identity has to be knowing who are your safe attachments and who are the attachments you need to let go of. Like, you know, like Jay Will said earlier, you know, as she grew, she understood that I can't be around these certain individuals. It's the same thing with leadership or anybody in particular.
Yeah.
As you grow, you got to know who to let go of, because sometimes – the people that you personally have put into your inner circle can be the most toxic part of your life. And if you don't know when to cut those people off, you will never find yourself, because they will always hold you accountable to who they want you to be. So you will never be on a level that they feel is greater than theirs.
Yep. Keep holding you down right with them.
Absolutely. So I think that's like I've learned. In my adulthood, there are certain people I can count on with no problem. And there are certain people that, you know, when it comes to the superhero syndrome, you know, the one thing about superheroes, two things about a superhero. Number one, yeah, they always have that secret identity. But then number two, they always wear a mask. And they know when to put the mask on and when to take the mask off.
Take it off.
Sometimes the mask becomes a permanent part of that identity because they miss the part. I still have to take, if I take this mask off, I got to deal with my everyday person. I got to deal with that person that I particularly may not care for because people don't accept.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so with identity, you gotta know when can you take that mask off. There are certain people I know for a fact, anytime I call, they would know when Andre's speaking versus, you know, every leader I am or every other hat that I wear. And sometimes, you know, I they'll say, okay, take this hat off, take that hat off. Let me talk to Andre. And that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
I think there should be people who hold you accountable, but there should also be people who can get to the root of you and say, you know, I don't want to speak to the teacher. I don't want to speak to the author. I don't want to speak to the mother right now. You know, I want to speak to this person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay
to
layers. Many of us can't find out who we are because there's so many layers we have placed on ourselves, but we forgot that every time we added a new layer, we should have been stripping the layer away.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I have the mask, I have the coat, I have the hat, I have the overcoat, I got on shades, I got a sombrero over top of my hat, I got a Kojic church mother over top of my sombrero, I got a Kojic church mother hat. Like, you know, I got so many hats and so many layers on, and my mask is on top of all that, and people sitting here like, yo, what's wrong with this freak? When it, deep inside, I just need somebody who will let me be me.
Let me be me. And you love me for me.
Yeah.
Love me for me. Love me for who I am. Love me with my flaws and all.
Yeah.
Because who's perfect? God ain't put us here to be perfect. God put us here to love. That's what we should be trying to do.
And that's why there are some people in relationships relationships they're not happy in because they haven't fully embraced themselves. But as you said, they're dealing with their identity being compromised and not being truly happy or not being truly satisfied or being at, I feel like, let me take out the satisfied part. Let me just say being at peace with themselves. Yep, I don't want to be alone, so I settle with being in this relationship. I don't want to be by myself, so I settle with being with this person or that person. And so I think I think that we as individuals need to first of all, I'll say it this way. I won't say anything. I think we should begin, those of us that are learning ourselves to feel, you know, learning identity or learning about ourselves. I think one of the things we should do, one of the things we need to do, I keep saying need, I'm just going to say it. We need to do is, first of all, before we get in relationships, deal with ourselves first. Like, really look inwardly and say, am I truly ready for what I'm about to take on? Because I'm about to take on.
If I don't know myself, how can I deal myself? How can I deal with myself if I don't know myself?
True.
That kind of opens the question. If the me I know is who they created me to be, so I accepted who they created me to be, how can I truly receive you if I'm still... If my life is based off of the character I created.
And I think that we need to we need to unpack some things.
Mm-hmm.
We need to unpack what do I know about myself and because one of the things we need to do is unpack that and say, what do I truly know about myself? Or how do I erase or get rid of what others thought about me and get rid of that get rid of those things? Because, again, we have to unlearn to relearn to now learn ourselves. Now, if that makes – am I making sense with that?
Yeah.
You got to unlearn to relearn because you got to basically learn yourself. You got to know and get to a place of learning yourself. So we got to unpack that. I think that's where we start, is unpacking those things.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But see, guys, I think it's, you know, with us being folk over a certain age, you know, I'm pretty sure all of us is over 30, 35. You know, we start to
close to 50.
Start unpacking things as we get older, you know.
I'm only 21.
Like, oh, well, baby, listen, you got a lot of learning to do. You got a lot to find. You got a lot of identity to find, baby. But yeah, I mean, I just think it goes, because, you know, I can't say that though, because I know people that's almost 50 and they still don't know themselves. They still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like we said earlier, as you grow, evolving, and still getting to a point of evolving and knowing yourself and knowing, like, there were some things that I didn't necessarily like in my 20s or my teens that now as an adult I find it to be, I actually like that.
Mm-hmm,
there was some,
mm-hmm.
And this may sound even simple to you all. There were some foods that I didn't like. I don't like watermelon, cantaloupe, honeydew. One day, I'm black. I decided to give it a try. And I was like, it's really good. But it's not something I would eat every day.
I agree. I'm the same way. I just started eating stuffings this year.
You just started eating what?
I mean,
stuffings. Turkey and stuffing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I cannot stand no. I could never stand no stuffing. Baby, I turned up with some gravy now.
That is true. Yeah. Jay Wills is definitely, she is unique because Jay Wills don't eat mayonnaise.
Uh-uh.
I don't
no
eat
way.
Mayonnaise either.
So she'll tell you she don't eat mayonnaise.
Only mayonnaise I eat is Andre's mayonnaise with his tuna mac, baby. That's it. That's it. Because he tricked me. You know how I make it. You know, put the seasoning in there and tricked me. I thought it was Miracle Whip, honey. And he said, uh-uh, baby, that is mayonnaise. I said, I know you lying. He said, no, I'm not. I said, okay, but I want some more to take home. So, yeah.
And it took a platter of just tuna mac.
Oh, baby, sure did, right in the aluminum pan.
But, yeah, sure as you evolve, you'll start to, you know, you start to find stuff that you thought you didn't like that you actually like or you had an aversion to. But there's still some things that I won't, you know, there's still some things I won't try, some things I won't do because I just don't feel comfortable with doing it. And that's fine.
Yeah,
so as
absolutely.
But I think that's a key thing because I think as you evolve and you identify yourself, then you learn to set those healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like it, so I won't do it. You
right.
know,
or
but at least,
face, so
but at least you
it.
Tried it. It's not for me. I know this ain't for me. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Even the things that you haven't tried, you've learned yourself enough to say, this ain't me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, I don't do, I won't touch that because, you know, oh, no, but none of my friends deal with that. Okay. So you do everything your friends do? That explains
right.
why you stuck the way you stuck.
Right.
Okay. Your friend jump off the bridge, you jumping off the bridge too? Uh-uh.
Right.
Uh-uh.
So that's the
yeah,
thing
I'm
I look
jumping
at.
Off a bridge.
You know, a lot of us are stuck because we just don't know. We don't know. We're not comfortable with ourselves because if we get comfortable with ourselves, then the next thing becomes, but would they like me for who I am?
Right.
And because we're so thirsty to be loved nowadays, we won't be okay with being an outcast.
Thirsty to be loved.
Talk about
we've
anything.
Never
but
been, we've never I, been I, satisfied.
Right.
And, yeah.
Like I'm
yeah.
thirsty. I'm thirsty for the affection. I'm thirsty for something so I cannot. So I can say I'm not alone. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to make the person happy. But for what?
Yep.
But not realizing it's possible.
And then you're still unhappy because now you didn't settle. But not only did you settle, you sold yourself. You sold your soul.
Yep. You turned yourself into something or somebody else to make somebody else happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, for instance, when it comes to relationships, you know, there's, okay, you got, y'all familiar with Ray J and Princess, right?
Yeah.
Love and hip-hop, Ray J and Princess.
Mm-hmm.
Princess came out and said that she's done a lot of things in her relationship to save her relationship or her marriage with Ray J, such as threesomes. You know, anytime he bring a woman home, she's, you know, she's with it. Knowing deep down inside, you're really not with it. You're just trying to keep your man happy. So why mm-hmm. are you making settling less or doing things that you wouldn't normally do to save a relationship? And that goes a lot to say. A lot of us still, no matter how much money you got, no matter how much fame you got, no matter how much notoriety you got, networking, whatever, that still doesn't mean you know who you are as a person. Because if you knew who you were as a person, you would tell that man, listen, I'm not into threesomes. I only want you. And if we can't do that, then it's nothing.
And not even just that one. If I'm not enough for you, we don't even need to be married.
Period.
Right.
So that's, people settling and not, they're compromising who they are for other people.
And that we see that constantly. We see that constantly in the church world. We see that constantly. People compromise for titles. We see that constantly in the music industry. People compromising because they don't know who they are. And then they get to the point to, it's almost, you all remember when Prince trying to get his masters back and he decided to shed the persona of Prince and became the artist. Formerly known as Prince, he did that to prove a point. The record company had the rights to him as a person, and he could not perform as Prince, which is his name. His name is Prince. His name is Prince Rogers Nelson.
But look how his estate did the same thing to Morris Day. In the
So Morris Day, he couldn't perform. How you going to tell the man's name is Morris? My name is Morris Day. My name is Morris Day. So you're going to tell me I can't perform as myself?
You can't.
No,
nope,
or the time. Or the
you
time.
Say I can't perform
can.
At the time.
Now he can.
Yeah. But that's crazy. Like
that. People have your identity. And I think I'm going to do a part two to this show called Not Just Talk About Identity. But what happens when others have your identity? When you see, when you've been around people who I now have a part of you in them, and now you got to go get it back. We're going to do a part of this stuff.
I think you should do when your identity is compromised, too.
Okay, I'll break it up. I'll break it up. I got you, sis. I got you, sis.
Y'all smart. Y'all got good topic.
So, bro, I'm gonna table the rest of this because I wanna, you know, I want our listeners to be on edge and kind of tune in for the next one. But I think this is a very good topic tonight. Big Wills, it's always wonderful to have you with us. You just
bring an air,
a liveliness to the show when you're here. And we enjoy you.
Thank you. And I'll be enjoying y'all because y'all smart. Y'all some smart people. Very smart.
Very intellectual
young men. Like, y'all know what y'all are saying. Y'all know what y'all want. Y'all know what the people want to hear. Talking about real life topics that people are afraid to touch on. So I'm here for it, definitely. And I thank y'all for having me anytime.
Thank you. Thank you for doing it.
Thank you for being a friend to the show. This has been a great, great.
Oh, I got some good news.
All right.
We will be next Tuesday. We will have a new intro to our show. I'm excited because one of my students is creating for us a intro to us. I know we said, but, you know, he still is a student, so he still got to do that homework and get some grades up, especially in my class. But he's working on it, and by next week he will have us a intro for ourselves.
I love it. I love it. See, we growing, y'all. We growing. Listen, if you guys want us to advertise anything that you have popping off, I mean, you know, get up with us. We would love, love, love to advertise your events. It definitely will cost, but we're not going to break your pockets. We're not Viacom and we're not Clear Channel. We're just the brothers. But we are definitely looking for sponsorships in the form of advertisements while we have the show. May not sound like, you know, your commercial would on the radio, but hey, this is podcast. Get your life together. We're still kicking it every Tuesday, so we are loving you guys for loving us the way that you are. We thank our friend to the show, Jay Wills, for popping in on tonight. Next week,
Jay Wills, we love you, is
going to be running the show. We're running the thought for the night, so we're excited about that. We're excited just to have the listeners in the building. We are so, so grateful for you guys. Remember, if you missed some of the episode on tonight, you can definitely catch us on Apple Podcasts. You can definitely catch us on iHeartRadio Podcast. We're excited to be a part of their listening audience, whether you listen to us on your iPhone, your
your Android, your MacBook Air, your MacBook Pro, your iMac, your tablet, your Galaxy, your government phone. It don't even matter. We just thank
you know what?
That you're allowing us to be a part of your listening audience, and we want to invite you back on next Tuesday.
That's right.
Back at our normal time, 7:30 next Tuesday. And you can always check us out on our social media outlets of the Brothers Podcast, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram. We would love to hear from you. If you got a topic you want us to touch on and you know that nobody else will touch on it, trust me when I tell you, we got the balls to come right to your closet, baby. Let us know what you need us to do. And on behalf of my brother Javon up in the Philadelphia, I got wings, but I ain't got no ring. And if on behalf of my brother Maurice in the big Charm City where you got to be more careful. And live from the house that Joe built, the first state, it's your boy Dre on behalf of Jay Wills, our guest for the night. We love you. We'll see you guys on next week.
See you guys.
Bye, Joe.